You are now listening to the greatest podcast on planet Earth, Sports Cypher Podcast, where we diagnose, debate, and dissect sports. Cypher up.
Jersey stand up and I'm in the building.
What's good, y'all? This is Ricardo, a.k.a. Maximum, a.k.a. Cardo, a.k.a. the guy with all the a.k.a.s. You are now tuned in to the Sports Cypher. Let's go.
They saved the best for last. This is Blaine, the ace of spades. And we're here to give the people what they want. More of me.
Welcome to another episode of the Sports Cypher Podcast. I am Buddy. I'm here with my man Blaze, the ace of spades.
What's happening?
And I'm here with Jersey Stand Up. And he was here, and now he's Jersey left the building. But he'll be back, though. Ricardo is on assignment right now. You may hear him next episode, next week. What's up, Liz, man? Any stuff light that you want to get right into the meat and mashed potatoes and things? You got anything light?
No,
you had a good weekend,
really.
Sports weekend?
Watching those two games.
You ready to watch baseball now? You want to be a Yankees fan?
No.
No Yankees fan? Oh, man, yeah, that's crazy, man. All right, man, shout out to Dodge Radio, man. Appreciate you being on that. It's a Dodge Radio and the Sports Cypher collabo. Don't forget, everybody that's listening, we are Sports Cypher with a Y. C-Y-P-H-E-R. Sports Cypher. I am at B Sports Cypher on X, formerly known as Twitter. I am Lamont Buddy Jones on Facebook. So you can always come and get in touch with me to have a piece of the Cypher Boys in your ear.
And you can listen to us on Saturday at 6 Eastern, 11 UK time on Dodge Radio. So you just go.
You could say to your smart device, play Dodge Radio on your smart device?
Get Dodge Radio.
Get Dodge Radio.
Install it. Get Dodge Radio, install it, and then, you know, just play. Just tell it to play.
Right.
Yeah.
All right, man, let's get it in. Okay, Jannik Sinner wins the Australian Open, the first major title of his career. So this was crazy right here. So this game was a 3-hour and 55-minute game. He the first player ever to go down two sets to come back and win. And the person he going against was the first ever in Australian Open history to be up two sets to come back to mess around and lose it. He was like the number 3 seed as well.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, so it's pretty, man, uh-huh. Bro, three hours and 55 minutes of running up and down a tennis court. Man.
Crazy. That's 4 hours.
So I'm okay. I don't really watch tennis. So how much break do a tennis person get within, like, in those 3 hours and 55 minutes? Like, do they get breaks for like 5 minutes? No, they're just constantly the playing.
There is literally, like, you could think of it like, how do you say it? Like, there's like, you know, when there's like a contested point or something. You know, when they go to like the line judge, it could be like 3 or 5 seconds. But, like, the amount of time that it takes to review a call is the only time. And that's only if there's a call to be reviewed. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
So, if it's not a call to be reviewed, it's just constantly running, constantly playing.
Right, Blades? You can correct me.
Yeah.
I never really knew that, man. Yeah. I know people listening, I know y'all probably be like, what? These what? Nah, I'm not a guy that's normally into tennis. I'm into the results of tennis and stuff like that and to see who win. But
the results.
Yeah, I'm into the results.
It's actually, I would say it's not for every, but I will say a really good tennis match, like if you know, like watching Venus and them, like the really, really good ones are actually pretty, because it's not slow paced. You know what I mean? It's kind of a
fast. So it's pretty action. It's moving, action.
Yeah.
endurance at its finest.
Okay. Endurance at its finest. And there's like, you know, a lot of emotion. Like they get emotional on the court and everything.
Now, mm-hmm. I did hear this, though. So you can tell me that this is true in baseball. They say you need to be even keeled in tennis. You don't want to get too high or too low in tennis. I heard that in baseball as well. You want to be keep your emotions kind of in check. You don't want to be sporadic and, like, put too much on a ball to where it doesn't hit when you need it to hit. Have you heard anything like that, Jerz?
I honestly think, in my experience, I would say that that's probably true for most. But I don't think that that's... Oh, wait, you have dudes like the great John McEnroe, who is probably mm-hmm. one of the most emotional athletes in any sport in history. I mean, he used to lose his mind. You look up one of his, some of his clips, he used to go...
Actually, he's supposed to have a game. He's supposed to have some game. Some, I think it's a doubles with a girl.
He's not in his 60s or 50s?
He's long. He's older than 50.
What is like a celebrity thing or something doing?
I think so. I heard it this morning. I heard it this morning, but I didn't really like. I'm not really a tennis, you know, lover. So I really just went in one ear, came out the other.
He better not act the way he used to act out there.
right.
He used to yell at the referee, the judges, like. Yeah, he used to go crazy. Man. But yeah, some of them are very, very, very like. If you ever heard a match, like they're very. I mean, it could be a little like they moan and like they yeah.
Yeah, I heard some of them clips as well. That's pretty wild. But all right, man. Let's switch to another topic. Let's go to NBA. So we're about to go through some of the NBA standings. It's about a little bit more than a halfway point right now. Mm-hmm. So we need to kind of look at some of these teams and give some thoughts about it. Ben Simmons is out tonight. Just came through. So we give a little thoughts about what we see, what we kind of predicted in the beginning of the season, even though we will do an end of year review on that. So I'm going to start off with the Western Conference right now. And it's pretty crazy who's number one. Blaze, you want to give a guess who's number one? You in Jersey? Yeah, y'all want to give a guess?
Warriors?
I think that it's the Timberwolves, if I'm not mistaken. But they were at some point. The
freaking Timberwolves, number one. And we recording Wednesday, y'all. This is the 31st. So this is the up-to-date standings going into Wednesday. They are 33-14. Number two seed in the land, Nuggets. They are 33-15. Number three, Thunder, 32-15. Four is the Clippers, 30-15. Any thoughts at the top four? Any surprises out there?
Oh, I was nowhere near right on the Timberwolves. I had them as a play-in team.
I think I have them as a top 18. I had the Clippers as a playing team, and both of them are. And I had the Thunder too low, but I had the Thunder like at 7 or 6, and they are freaking number three. And Ricardo called it. Ricardo's not here right now.
But yeah, I also have that. I had them down at 4.
Yeah, I remember you said the same thing. Yeah, I had them at 4. Like, man, I was like, Cam, you're kind of too low. And I'm like, yeah, I'm going to have to reevaluate that. And I moved them to 6 from 8. And that still wasn't good enough. I should have moved to the third.
And Ricardo told me that I was too... I think he said I was too low on the Clippers. Or was it the Kings he said I was too low on?
He said
I was too low on. Yeah, that was.
Yeah, he thought I was too high on the Clippers. I kind of moved them down. I had the Clippers in the top 8, and I kind of switched when I moved everything around. I moved the Clippers down some. But, man, but of course, this before James Harden. And James Harden with Ty Lue was like, James Harden to be more aggressive, too passive. And once James Harden really took that to heart, man, these dudes been on a winning streak.
They have.
These dudes been really playing really great ball. They also gave the Celtics, as we get into them, who want to have two home losses, one of the home losses to the Clippers, and they embarrassed them on their floor. Embarrassed them.
They're extremely talented. You know, it's one of those things where, like, shouldn't be surprising. It's just that we got so used to the underperforming that baked itself into a lot of people, I believe, you know, I could say at least for me, but then I'm sure this is true. Like we if you step back, even if you think that any of these guys have taken a step, even their step back as a collective whole though is, and then you know they can't sit dudes as much as before because of the new rules, so they're not going to lose those certain so you know that. Yeah,
but you know what? Also, too, George and Kawhi have been pretty relatively healthy, bro. Like that's a big step too, man. Because normally these dudes is known for missing 30, 35, 40 games a season, bro.
Yeah, yep. And some of that is, I mean, a majority of that is probably health, especially. But some of that is probably
they have a good tendon. They have a really deep group, bro. Right. They're really deep. They are deep. Ivica Zubac hurt, but if he's healthy, that'll be really great.
Yep.
They have Russell coming off the bench. Mm-hmm. They have young guys like Mann. They have Eric Gordon, shooter, the spread the court. They have Plumlee, a backup center. They have a lot of it's a really deep team.
When Russell took on to that role, that also helped them.
Right.
Like he does a lot. He's doing a lot better, you know, for some reason.
Coming off the bench. Which he didn't want to do with the Lakers, and that's why he wanted them to trade him. But now he's cool. But I guess winning cures all. You know?
It really does.
You know what's so crazy? So, Blaze, let me bring this back. Back in 2011, James Harden used to come off the bench while Russell Westbrook started.
Oh, yeah.
Now James Harden is the starter, and Westbrook coming off the bench to be the six-man role.
That's crazy.
Now, about 10 years later.
That is, you know.
Yeah, that's crazy. 12
years later, crazy.
Sports.
Okay, let's get to the next four. Sports. Mm-hmm. Five is the Kings at 27 and 18. Six is the Suns at 27 and 20. Seven is the Mavericks at 26-21. Eight is the Pelicans, 26-21.
Well,
I had the Pelicans a little higher, but they're a little lower. But they still kind of in the mix to even go up to five. They're not too far from five. So,
I had the Mavericks and the Suns much higher. I had them at two and three actually, and Mavericks three and Suns two. But I want to see what the Suns, you know,
look like fully healthy.
And once they get that continuity together. What scares me about the Mavericks, which was true last, Luka can drop what 72 on a team or something, and they can still only win by 4 points. So you know,
Kyrie Irving been hurt a lot this year. It's like the Mavericks is stars and scrubs.
Right.
They need for them to be a legit threat. They need Luka and Irving to be fully healthy every night to be a legit threat. And when I'm not there, they're going to – you need this Herculean effort from Luka to go with no point guard at 73. Well, we'll get to that, and the guy still be he went crazy. But teaser. But they need Luka to just have these extraordinary games, like you say, George, just to stay barely above water. Like,
yeah. Mm-hmm. And so for that reason, like what I see – you know, we'll see what happens at the trade that, but, you know – what I see out of this team is a team that could beat any team in a series. Like, if they were the eighth seed, it wouldn't shock me if they knocked off a Timberwolves in a series just because they got guys that can really do that. But they're not going to make it. They're not going to – that's really, really hard to sustain over the course of a whole NBA playoffs the way that, you know, it's constructed. You know what I mean?
Right.
Winning back-to-back-to-back seven-game joint.
And they need like Lively to be healthy as well. They rookie center, he's playing great, but I believe he have a broken jaw. He's going to miss some while with that. So they back to Powell and not really great center play, so that's going to hurt as well.
Right.
So the Kings is about as what I thought they was going to be. I think I had them at six, maybe five.
Yeah.
Just like I said, the Suns and the Mavericks I had high. The Pelicans I had a little higher too, but that's about it.
I thought that they overachieved last year. I thought they, you know, I thought
they, when they was in the top, really, when they was
they finished like the third. What were they, third seed?
Yeah, they was number one at first. They fell way, way down though. They wound up feeling like at one point in December they was the number one seed, and then they just Zion got hurt, Ingram got hurt, and McCollum got hurt, and they just fell.
They're fun. You know, I got to watch a little bit of them this year because they played the – they're a fun offense to watch, but, you know, I mean
– bit of an overachiever from last year.
Yeah.
Okay. But let's get into these playing game people. Lakers is 24-25. Jazz is 24-25. Rockets are 22-24. So what you think about this?
I thought the Lakers would. I think I had them at six. I'm not surprised though, but because I just. I'm gonna say, the Lakers are I watched the Lakers for all four of the Rockets Lakers games. I watched one more. I watched five Lakers games this year.
Right.
More Lakers regular season games than I watched probably in the 3 years combined. They're soft. The Lakers are soft. Like they're soft.
Man, the Lakers is, and to me, they're so dependent on LeBron and AD, and nobody really, like every now and then you may get Russell to step up, but that's every now and then. But man, they're so AD and LeBron, to me, is at an age, he's still putting up great numbers. But
yeah,
you're supposed to look for AD to lean like tomorrow. AD didn't play the last game, and he may not play tomorrow either. So, the Lakers, they want people, but people don't want what they have to offer back outside of draft picks, and they've been using a lot of that up lately. So, man, Lakers just in a weird space. They're just in, like, sports purgatory right now.
Yeah. You know where the Lakers are? Let me tell you where the Lakers are. The Lakers need to be sellers. They're not. It's not happening.
But what do they have to sell? Like, nobody really wants LeBron James like that.
Or AD? Like, they need to be.
LeBron James probably have one foot in the out the door.
Yeah, he's going to play. I think next year is going to be his. I think he just. I honestly think he's just staying around to.
To his son get in the league.
To play. To say he played on a court.
On
one
the team
time
or against his son. Yeah, against his son to be the first player ever to do that. Yeah.
Yeah, but like, it's like, because they have talented players, though. I mean, and LeBron, like, you, LeBron can still.
I'm not impressed. Like, the dude they paid, Reeves, he's underachieving so like a mug, bro.
Oh, God.
And they paid him some nice money. And, like, he's. Okay, he's still in the ball good, man, but he underachieving really bad this year. I really thought he was going to take the really scoring load away to help LeBron out. He's not even doing it. He may be averaging 14 points a game, which is less than he averaged before he got his contract.
But when they're on, you can see, like, that they have, because they got some dudes that can play some roles well. Like, because Reeves, he's not a bad player. He's just overpaid. And you got guys that can come in and hit some shots for them.
Right.
And listen, and then LeBron can still take over a game. AD is still, a borderline elite player when he's and he's been healthier. But
this is one of the most healthier seasons.
But they're soft. I'm sorry. You hit them in the
You hit them in the mouth and they're going to fall back.
I literally watched a rookie, Cam Whitmore, come in and steal the soul out of this veteran team. Like, Cam Whitmore, the one they said fell in the draft because he didn't have the mentality, came and almost including, and he was one inch away from posterizing LeBron. Then he came back up and shot it over LeBron and handed him the ball.
Man, thank you for that segue for me, man, because who I think is going to actually be in the playing game, I have the Rockets, even though they're out of it right now. I think the Jazz is going to fall by the wayside, but great job by the Jazz turning around so fast, even though they clearly was a rebuilding. Right. They're supposed to be a bottom feeder. But, man, Whitmore, bro, the stuff he do in 18 to 15 minutes, bro.
It's crazy.
Crazy.
He has no fear. And with Jalen Green turning it around,
yes, Jalen Green has been.
The Lakers couldn't stop. Wow. They had sets where it was Amen Thompson, Jalen Green.
When does the playing game start?
They start
in March, April after
right?
the April after the
April.
Season.
April.
Yeah.
Yeah. So we have time. The Lakers are going to beat some teams. I think the Jazz will fall out of it, and that's who.
But the Lakers was the winner of the in-season tournament.
Yes.
So.
Yes. Yes.
In this regular season, everybody, that don't really count, man. Everything counts. Right? Everything counts, man.
They wanted hundreds of thousands of dollars they got.
And they also wanted to win those games. That helped make the – because if you lose it, like, it don't make no sense because you're losing. It's hurting you to make the overall playoffs. So you're still playing to win.
These people don't want to lose. Nobody wants.
No, they don't. No, they do not want to lose. They won't lose. Let's get to the Eastern Conference. Who y'all think number one in the land in the Eastern Conference?
Baltimore. I'm not Baltimore. Boston or Philadelphia.
Philly.
Okay. Philly. Okay. Number one, we have the Celtics. They are 37-11, the best overall record in the NBA. The best overall record in the NBA. Two losses at home. Only two losses.
Wow.
Balling.
Yes. Yes, they have. Number two, Milwaukee, 32-15.
All right.
That, you know they fired their coach when he was 30-13.
Yes. Which is crazy.
So, right. Number three, New York Knicks. They are 31-17.
I told you, Ricardo. I told you. Sorry.
Let's go.
I set dark horse on this program.
Yes, you did. Yeah, go back and check that out, y'all. Jersey said dark horse. I said dark horse? Dark horse. Number four, Cavaliers. And I'm going to speak about them. 28-16.
And so that's what they were last year. Number four.
I'm gonna go with this. Yes, but I'm going to tell you why I think they might have a chance to rise.
Really?
Tonight, they have their full starting lineup back. Darius Garland comes back. Yay! With Mitchell. Mobley came back Monday. Oh, no. Allen is now questionable with an illness. Not nothing major. He's just a non-COVID illness. But outside of that, they're getting their starting lineups back. And they've been holding steady.
Wait, Mobley holding been out too?
Yes, Mobley been out just as long as Garland been out. Maybe a little bit longer. He just came back Monday and Garland coming back tonight.
What?
Yes. It's been pretty much Mitchell and Allen. They've been Mitchell and Allen, bro. Mitchell been having some crazy heroic games, bro. Like 30-12. Like Allen has been a double-double machine. I think he got like 31 games of double-doubles in a row or something like that.
That's crazy. And I feel like they had another guy that has stepped up some.
Caris LeVert. He was hurt for a while. He's back to it. And that's their sixth man coming off the bench. Keep the second unit in scoring and stuff. So the rookie, that three-point shooter rookie, really been setting up Sam Mora.
Yeah.
Man, they have some pieces, bro. I'm really nervous about Cavaliers. This Cavaliers is really nice, bro. Like when Mobley and Allen, they might vault themselves being one of the best defensive teams in the league, like they was last year, the top five defensive squad in the league.
You saw that you prognosticated this a season and a half ago.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I like the makers of your team,
this is
bro.
A team that is coming.
Man, I like the makers of this team, bro, especially the defensive prowess of Allen and Mobley back there to protect the rim, to make up for the lack of defense that Mitchell really doesn't play and Garland is pretty good at. Man.
And I think that those guys being out give those their bench because they won the summer league, which what does that show? That shows that when you win the summer league, that shows you have a good depth on your team because those are usually depth guys that are playing in that. Like
right.
So your depth is better than a lot. So it seemed like their depth is coming along, and they got to get a lot of usage. You know what I mean?
While all the injuries.
Maybe that doesn't matter for now.
But that matters for later. But for that later. Experience. That
right.
Experience.
Yeah.
Right. Okay, any other team in this top four you are pretty shy? I'm glad the Knicks, but, man, the Knicks just lost Randall, so our boy Bronson gonna have to really hold it down. OG been hurt the last couple of games, so it's really been the Bronson show, man. And we have been winning, but I'm still nervous about the long
hasn't term. He been? Hasn't he playing really good?
Oh, he's been playing fantastic, Blades.
Yeah,
fantastic. Wow. Some people was wondering why he wasn't on the starting five of the All-Star voting. But go ahead, Jerry.
I know that he gets a lot of ish. And you know, but he's so similar. Maybe this is why. Like he's so similar in a lot of ways, which I did think that. Remember, I told you, and they were saying it on during the game. They were saying he might need to stop Thibodeauing so much. It's a winning formula, man. that style of basketball helps you maximize your your inefficiencies. Like, it helped. It's kind of like playing good defensive football and running the football. Even though the analytics will say this or that, and the third, you can win better with, you can get more out of less when you can do that well. And I feel like that, the Knicks don't just, sometimes the Knicks really come out here and beat the crap out of teams.
Right, man, the defense, bro. Like I said, ever since this trade, bro, like I said, it might not show with OG stats, but he might just be the missing piece to really give, like, other like being an on-ball defender to really make somebody field goal percentage go down from 45 to 35. Like, to make them work for it. Like, and it's kind of showing, bro, like, it's been a winning thing since we got here, bro. We've been winning.
Yes.
Can't lie.
Sometimes they just know more than us.
Yeah, I still think we gave up too much.
You probably did, but if you guys make a deep run in the playoffs,
right?
Nobody on the team is gonna care.
No fan should really be mad, yeah. Right? Of course, I'm part of par for the Bucks and everything. Yeah. Let's get to this next four. So five is the 76ers at 29-17, Pacers 27-21, Heat 24-23, Magic 24-23. Now, the 76ers, Joel Embiid got hurt last night. He's having an MRI on his knee. He just came back from injury last night as well, missing 5-6 games. He might be out for long term. Tyrese Maxey is still dealing with his injury. Oh, man. The 76ers was number three at one point. They're number five now. Oh, man. What y'all think?
That really sucks for my fantasy team.
Me too. Double times.
So. You know, I feel like, have the 76ers ever won an NBA? Did they win one with Julius Erving?
Yeah, I believe they won back in the 70s. They won
and that's
one
it,
before.
Right? Because they made it to the finals.
I know they made it with Ive. Yeah,
but I think they got beat down, right?
They got beat by the Lakers. Yeah. It was just Ive by itself. Yeah. That team was I've truly carried that overachiever team, man.
Yeah, it was one of the great, one of the all-time.
It was just players. Him and Mutombo were the defensive player of the year that year. Yeah.
This seven, like, they are the consummate team that's always.
That used to be my team. I used to love Dr. J. Oh my God, I have his shoes and everything.
I was at a concert with him at the same. We both went to see Celine Dion at the same on the same day.
Celine Dion?
Yeah, he was there at the time I went. I don't feel like how do you put it? Like, people don't say enough what they say about teams like the Cowboys and the Mets. Like, the 76ers never get there. Like, they're always,
man,
like,
bro, and I really felt they had a chance this year. Only if they stay fully healthy, because they have Maxey. They have, even though they got rid of Harden, Maxey, Harris, Kelly Oubre Jr. They have good depth with Paul Reed behind Joel Embiid. They have a couple of other pieces. Man, I really thought they got Patrick Beverley and stuff. I really thought they had a good deep 9 or 10 deep team. And I still feel that way. Like, they could be a dangerous number five, or if they fall to number six, if they get fully healthy by the time the playoffs start, I still think they dangerous. Now, it's going to be harder going against a better team.
Right.
But still dangerous nevertheless.
They're slipping right now.
I don't think they can win the East, though.
No,
Celtics is too far ahead of them. Too far ahead of them and too dominant.
You think it's the Celtics and everybody else?
The Celtics, Bucks, and everybody else. I need to see what Doc gonna bring to the table, but the thing with the Bucks, they offense, they, I think they're like top three in scoring, but they're also one of the worst defensive teams in the league as
So you can get busy on them,
right? The Magic, number eight. This is, I'm glad to see a little young upstart team showing a little something, man. You know, the Heat gonna be the Heat. We saw what they did from the eight spot,
right.
So you can never count Jimmy Butler out. Now they got Terry Rozier.
And they play that style of basketball.
And the Pacers, bro. I think Pacers can be underrated too. Now that they made that trade for Swaggy P. Blaze, boy.
We know what that offense can do.
Man, they just got to be healthy. They got a bunch of injuries as well. Halliburton missed a bunch of time.
Mm-hmm.
They just missed a couple of their role players. But this is gonna be an interesting little run. 6-8.
it really is. And, you know, the NBA is just in such good hands with some of these drafts, these last few drafts. Some of these like just seeing what these teams, you look at the Magic, you look at some of what the Pacers, the Cavaliers, what they turned themselves into with some of these picks. And,
right,
you know, it's really, 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 like, exciting for the league, because you're going to see, like, it's not to the point where everybody really has a real chance to win the whole thing. But I think that there's a lot of series that could go either way if they happen this week.
Right. Well, let's check in some of the play-in teams. And it's pretty wild right here. So we have the Bulls, 22-26.
Really?
The Hawks, 20-27. And then the Nets at 19-27. Oh, man.
Step on those Nets. Step on them.
Man. Bro, these teams looking pretty wild. Now, Zach LaVine hurt for right now, but, man, these are going to be the playing teams right here, man.
They're going to get played right out immediately.
Now, the Nets can make a move. Ben Simmons came back. He's going to miss tonight. He bumped his knee. So he's going to be out for tonight's game. But he came back, first game back, had a triple-double. It was quite crazy. You know, his typical 10 rebounds, 10 assists, 10 points. But that's, you know, we know he's not a scorer like that. No. So.
We don't know if he could be, but we do know that he can't be.
Right.
We don't know if he has the capability, but we know we don't got the mental acuity or the heart to do that. Sorry.
Yep. All right, man. So we're gonna go to NFL, but we're gonna start with a coaching hire so we can get y'all thoughts about that. Mike McDonald is with the Seahawks. So Blaze, what's your thought about him being hired from being the Ravens defensive coordinator?
I don't know what they're doing. The Ravens. Shouldn't we talk about the Ravens? What they did this weekend first? Because
no, we can talk about him. We gonna get to that.
I don't honestly. I don't think I would have took him, but that's me personally. Okay. I don't know. I just those the last teams, them and Washington. I really think they're just throwing straws out there, you know, throwing darts out there and trying to get a head coach. Personally, I think they should. Why didn't no the enemy? No one's giving the enemy any
Eric,
chance.
The enemy, his stock down right now from how the Washington offense was. His stock down.
Yeah, I mean, at the end of the day, the enemy. I'm sorry, the enemy. And it's not even just – we can't even really say it's just because of the Washington offense. I got to think it's something else going on here because they
– Well, they said he's mean to the players.
Right, right, right. I remember that did come out.
But the thing about it is all coaches are mean to your players. I've never met a coach that was a – Hi guys.
But I heard the players literally didn't like him. They literally didn't like him in Washington. And I heard some of the spats he had with Kansas City. Don't forget some of the stuff he had with players, Tyreek and some other players too there. But go ahead, Jerris.
Yeah, because Aaron Glenn got looks, serious looks, and
it still is in consideration for the last opening.
There's a few dudes that were getting serious looks, and their units were not like amazing or anything. It was somebody else. It was like, yo, that they didn't even have a good unit. But so I just think in this coaching, this was a very up in the air coaching cycle where it was a lot of teams that there was a lot of coaches that were going to be first time head coaches and second. If you couldn't get a serious look right now, I feel like that really hurts your chances in the future. You know what I mean?
Me too. Yeah, I think it's probably – I think he got to start over from scratch again and maybe reinvent his attitude about some stuff. It's a reason, like you say, people not giving him a look, though. But for my thoughts, as far as McDonald, the Ravens defense, fifth-ranked defense in the regular season. And I'm also – I'm also glad to see that new blood has been being hired now, man. It's been a lot of new blood. To me, you know, I felt like the Seahawks was a really good team to take over. I know you and Cuddle and Blaze thought the Chargers was the quarterback, which I understand. But, man, the other pieces that the Seahawks have, especially defense, I think he would do wonders with his secondary, which is already a good cornerback tandem. I really think he could do really wonders with this Seahawks team, man. Now, I don't know. We're going to see what his coordinators is and stuff like that. But the things he did with that Ravens defense, and it was really a kind of a young team.
It was a lot kind of teams that I thought were good to take over. So I think this was a good year to be a coach out on the market. The Seahawks got pieces. The Chargers, the Falcons. I don't. The one I actually care for least is the one that went, I think, maybe first, and people seem to be really wanting. I mean, the freaking Panthers just—I feel like they're in a shell.
They got the offensive coordinator. I guess they saw what he did with Baker, and I guess they want him to come in here. Head coach.
I get why they took him. I just don't.
Yeah, I know why. Yeah, but he did.
Oh right,
he did. He did good with Baker, and he also did with Geno.
He was the one that helped revive Geno too.
Yeah, he helped revive Geno.
Wow.
So that's why, because whoever was dealing with what's the young boy's name in the Panthers?
Bryce Young.
Yeah, well, I don't know. I feel bad for them. I really feel bad for the Panthers.
And you know what's so crazy? They spend capital on the stuff. They're going to have to spend capital again this year with the new GM. Dan Morgan steps up to be the new GM. The owner going to have to stay out of it and give them pay. Stop firing everybody every year. You're going to have a couple of bad seasons. Right. Now y'all don't have no first-round draft pick. So y'all going to have a couple of bad seasons. And y'all just got to really, really focus on developing what y'all have. Development is key, and not missing in drafts is key.
Yeah, but he keeps on firing the coaches.
He's not doing the players no type of service.
I don't think that he's going to stop. Isn't this David Tepper? This dude is a fairly new owner, right?
Right.
Took over for
five years ago, I believe.
Five years ago. Now he's fired. He's doing
four
all this
coaches
stuff,
in. I think
doing all this.
Yeah, four coaches. Stuff.
This dude clearly doesn't have the mature. This is one of the richest dudes.
He doesn't have the temperament.
What were we saying, Blaze?
Yeah, I don't think he has the temperament.
He doesn't have the temperament. He threw. Didn't he throw a drink on a fan?
Yes, he threw a drink on a fan.
Jerry. Can you imagine, like, you would never hear the word Jerry Jones, Al Davis, Art Rooney, or I forget which Rooney it is now. It's not Art Rooney now. It's
it's the Art Rooney the second, I believe.
Oh, all right. So it is
it's the second.
You know, any of the Rooneys, even the, like, you don't hear that type. You wouldn't hear Arthur Blank threw a drink on, like, if Robert Kraft threw a drink on a fan, like, that just would blow your mind.
Yeah, let me throw through some coordinators right quick. Arthur Smith is the new offensive coordinator for the Steelers. They want to focus on the run game with Warren and Najee.
Why would they? I don't understand. Why did they hire him?
To focus on the run game with Warren and Najee.
Oh, so they're going on his element when he was with the Titans? The Titans,
yeah. Oh. Kellen Moore is with the Eagles. Vic Fangio is with the Eagles defensively. One of the best
He went from Dolphins. He went from the Dolphins to the Eagles. I honestly don't understand
why. To be closer
to
his family. That's what it came out. He wanted to be closer to his family. That's why they let him. Because they didn't have to let him out of his contract.
Yeah, they didn't have to let him out.
He wanted to be. He needed to be closer to his family. So. So it all.
Yeah, and I think the Dolphins, even though the Dolphins had a really good defense, I think they kind of wanted to move in another direction after the Chiefs game as well. So I think they kind of wanted to move in another direction as well. Falcons OC is the pass game coordinator for the Rams. I think he's a brilliant mind. Rob Morris got him as the OC for the Falcons. I think that's a really good move. Who else picked up some good move? Ken Dorsey back with the Browns as the Browns OC.
Bobby Slowick staying with the
awesome
with the Texans.
Awesome for CJ Stroud. I'm drafting CJ Stroud everywhere.
Johnson. Staying with the Lions.
Yeah, yep,
Lions.
He turned down so much. Some teams said he wanted too much, then but you know, Washington was on their way flying there to meet with him and Aaron Glenn. I guess they're gonna meet with Glenn. Johnson said he's going back. So
And you know what this also means?
was that
Jerry Jones is really intelligent. He's just smart. Because you see,
I don't think so. Because on this weekend he came out and said he was praising Belichick.
That's exactly what I'm saying. Now Belichick had to be humbled, right?
Yep, he had to be humbled. He wanted to be the GM of a team.
What happens? Then Mike McCarthy comes back on his one last year. You get to keep the continuity, evaluate your quarterback, maybe extend him for a year, or you could be talking to Bill Belichick if things are going off the rails and saying, look, you want this guy? Should we and be setting something up where if you want to make that move, you're
move
in
for
the
Johnson.
Exact same position that you're in right now next year, and you lose nothing.
And also at the Senior Bowl, he talked positively about McCarthy and how the team wanted McCarthy and Prescott.
People killing him for that in the media.
You know, in them TV shows I don't watch and stuff. People killing him for that. But I see no problem with him asking questions and he's saying positive stuff about McCarthy, about Prescott throughout all these crazy little family issues and about the team.
He believes in them.
Yeah.
He doesn't. He spoke with his
wife. I personally think the problem with him and Belichick would be the ego, because he wants to be the focus on the team, and if Belichick came there, he would be the focus of the team. You know, Jerry Jones is the focus of, you know, Dallas Cowboys. Everyone looks to him, and I don't think he wanted to share that, you know,
I think
that
you're
spot.
Right.
And because honestly, if it was me, Belichick's been to the playoffs when he won six times. Yeah, he won six times. I would have picked, and I'm worried about my team. I'm not worried about my team during regular season. I'm worried about my team in the playoffs. And I would have got Belichick. No, I would have hired Belichick and said, no, you're no GM. I'm the GM. You're no GM, and
I think Belichick. But that's what Belichick got to accept. That he didn't want to accept that with the Falcons or any other team, bro.
He had to
humble himself for a little bit.
He does. That would have been the humbling of.
But Blades, the humbling doesn't come from a man who's won six in 3 weeks after.
It comes when you're
sitting on the sideline for the first time in 30 years for a year. That's what I'm saying, Jerry Jones.
And you
smart.
Look at the game from a different point of view. You gonna step back and if Belichick want to continue to coach, he's going to look at it from a different point of view. Now, we don't know if that's a positive or a negative. We can see how it turned out with Sean Payton, even though they had a little run. So we really don't know if that's a positive or a negative. It worked out great for Pete Carroll, seeing out all them years. They coming back and had and be one of the best coaches, you know, to come back into the league. But we'll see.
Well, it's just like about the humbling, because I don't know that it's going to change his outlook. I mean that it's just going to change how he sees what he has to the give and take. Because if he weren't to never get hired again, these dudes. Mm-hmm. Who are these dudes who got hired over him? We could sit here and talk about a Mike McDonald, bro. Like, we're talking, like, it's not Bobby. There are dudes, like, Aaron, like, and I understand it's what he was wanting, but the fact is, this dude is not going out the way he wants. He's embarrassed about the way, this wasn't a mutual thing in New England. Kraft wanted to move on. Now nobody wants you at your terms, and you're the guy, and Tom Brady went and got a Super Bowl. This dude is about to sit on the sideline, and he probably has no idea what to do with it. He's got to deal with his girlfriend every day instead of being able to get away. Like, these are real things that he's about to go through.
He's going to have to turn the air conditioning on in his house so he can wear his cut-off hoodie and stuff.
He wasn't married. I thought he was married.
He got divorced and then he got a girlfriend.
Mm. All right, y'all. Let's go to this recap, man. We're gonna go with this this AFC and NFC championship recap. So we start off with the Chiefs, 17-10 over the Ravens. Blaze, what you thought about that, man?
This game was, oh my God. That's why I don't understand how the Raven defensive coordinator got a coaching job, a head coach job, because I don't know. Their defense didn't come. Their offensive didn't come. they only ran the ball six times with the two running backs, and they're used to running the ball, what, 20, 30 times a game? Mm-hmm. And they only ran them six times. Gus the Bus, they gave him three carries, and they gave three carries to Hill. That's crazy. That is crazy. And there was no discipline. The team was not disciplined. They had all these penalties, you know, like taunting. Like you caught a 57-yard pass, and then you're taunting, so you lose 15. Then you fumble the ball in the end zone. Like, come on, man.
That was Flowers.
I honestly think there was I thought John was supposed to be one of these disciplined dudes. I thought his teams were all disciplined. That team didn't have no discipline at all. And then Action Jackson, I don't know. I think they were trying to force him to be someone that he's not, because he didn't run the ball much. I think he only ran it eight times. And I think they're trying to make him into a deep back passer, you know, in the pocket passer. And he should have ran the ball. There were several times he should have just ran. You know, stick to what got you to the game. You know, stick to what got you to the dance. You know, he got. That's my personal opinion about it.
Okay, what you got, Jerz?
A lot of what Blades was saying, I think they, you know, you're right on the money, but it's just I don't want to go so far and say, like, on the large, make the larger scale statements to certain people. At the end of the day, sometimes we just get so caught up as sports fans just trying to make everything a big picture thing, and sometimes it's just a small picture thing. I go through it with the cow, but like at the end of the day, the Ravens just got beat. They just got beat and they got outcoached. And it doesn't change anything about, and this is probably why Mike McDonald, it doesn't change anything about whatever Mike McDonald did this year. Because that's what makes football football. It's a one game scenario against Patrick, against the guy who does. This is what makes Andy Reid, this is what makes these guys savants. Greg Popovich, Andy Reid. And this is what colors the incorrect conversation about coaches and quarterbacks when they don't succeed, because it's just a couple of dudes who really do it the way that Andy Reid does it, where they're always prepared, where they're always, 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 always. You're only talking about 3 and 5 guys in the history of the game. Out of all the
especially coming off a bye week, Andy Reid is like for not they one loss or two losses in his whole career coming off a bye week.
This is to me Andy Reid's best coaching performance that I've seen. This is not the
this is not an overly dominant offensive team or offense.
Yes, it is what this is. What happens when you get one of the great coaches of all time? It's what happens when you have Belichick and Brady. It's what happens when you have that combination of
great coaching and quarterback, the hands-down leader.
And the hands-down leader, the guy that really – one of the guys who's going to be – I'm not going to say that he's the greatest of all time, but if these two guys both retire as the greatest coach and quarterback of all time, there won't be a shock. Anybody won't say shock here. So these guys do this. You know, Lamar Jackson and the Ravens, they just didn't come up. Zay Flowers made rookie mistakes. He made big plays. He's a rookie. And he made rookie mistakes. They got behind against a good coach. They got behind early against a good coach, and Lamar Jackson was pressing. And everybody was pressing because it was Patrick Mahomes and because it was Andy Reid, and the moment was too big. And that's where that's still a very disciplined game, because I'll take what they've done as far as their discipline over the course of 17, 16 games, as opposed to what happened in one game when they're pressing.
And you know, my feel with the Jerz, to me, they still had a shot. Like, they just had missed opportunities. Like, Zay Flowers fumbling into the end zone. If he would have scored, it is 14-17. That's not act like the Chiefs were scoring a whole bunch of points in the second half either.
They weren't.
They weren't. But it could have been a different game. It was some misses here and there. One thing I definitely agree with Blades, and I don't know, Todd Monken didn't really call a good game. He didn't really get in Lamar here because the Chiefs was running a lot of man, and a lot of their defenders had their back turned to Lamar. Lamar was supposed to use his legs. Now, it wasn't designed run. This was designed passing plays. So this was a Lamar Jackson thing. So Lamar Jackson had to see that and knowing I could take all to exploit that. Like 8, 9, 10 yards and them changing the defense then, that might open up more room for Isaiah Likely. That might open up more room for Mark Andrews, who played on limited snaps. But still, you know, Ty Monken didn't do the best thing to get in this player's ear offensively, Lamar Jackson's ear, to open up his mind and his eyes to certain things because the OC eyes wasn't open up. I just think he did a bad coaching job offensively. Mm-hmm.
Yep.
Defensively, I think McDonald did the best he could. Because don't get wrong, their secondary is still young, man. They got some nice linebackers in Queen and Smith they got traded from.
They had the best secondary in the league, I believe.
They did, in the top five defense overall. Yeah. Right, yeah. So McDonald still did his thing, even though they had some penalties, Blaze, and they fall to some. But they was never really out of it defensively. The offense just couldn't give them no help because 17 points is normally not a lot for a defense to give up.
You should be able to win if you give up 17 points. You should be able to win, especially against a team that isn't an offensive fire. They don't have a lot of offensive firepower over there.
The Chiefs wasn't blowing people out the water. They really winning it with defense. Also, shout out to Travis Kelce, 11 catches, 121, a touchdown, and passing Jerry Rice all time. In Jersey, I'm going to bring this back to our conversation we had 2 or 3 years ago. Kelce being the greatest tight end in NFL history, bro. His stats in the playoff is ridiculous.
Yes, I mean
ridiculous.
He beat Jerry Rice.
Yeah.
I don't think anyone could beat Jerry Rice, especially not a tight end.
Okay, quick thoughts on Kelce right quick. Greatest tight end ever? Right there, what
y'all
think?
Right, and quick. You know why now? That game, to me, really... I thought it already, but, you know, that to me was one of his great games because of where he isn't anymore. And he's taking it... He's still a very good tight end. But he's taken a slight step back this year. And when the moment and with Taylor Swift as your lady now. That's extra attention from the whole world was watching Travis Kelce in ways that he's never been watched before. And on this stage where your team has just young receivers and half of them aren't good, and you need to go to the number one seed, and you're old and hot and probably very unhealthy, you come up and have one of the biggest games that you've had all season long.
Man, Mahomes, man, in the first half, I believe he had like an 80% completion clip, bro. Mahomes was dissecting in the first half. It wasn't big explosive plays, but it was the think they only had 2 third downs or 3 third downs in the first half alone. Like, bro, that's crazy. They only had 2 or 3 third downs in the first half alone. Like, they actually held the ball for 9 minutes in the second quarter. 9 minutes on one drive.
Oh, God.
One drive, bro. It was a clinic of 6 yards, no third down. 6 yards, 7 yards, no third down. Run, like, it was like...
Angry running by Isaiah Pacheco.
The angriest running back in the league.
Angry Isaiah, New Jersey's own, as usual. We're here.
I would love to have the Cowboys to have somebody like you. I've been hearing about this guy, Lynch from USC.
Marshawn Lloyd.
Yes,
I'm not trying to.
Is Lloyd like a Pacheco? Because I would love to have somebody
and
like Pacheco.
There's also this white running back. There's a white running back that's blowing up the Senior Bowl right now. They're saying all week he's been killing it.
Okay. Any more thoughts on this game? If we move on to the next game. No thoughts. Big shout outs to Rice, man. He's been coming up very clutch as well, man.
Young boys.
We get into the 49ers, and they beat the Lions, and that score was 34-30. So, Jerz, I'm going to start with you this time. What's your thoughts of this 49ers-Lions game, my brother?
Got off to a rocky start for these seemed like Brock was a little out of rhythm. Kyle Shanahan didn't have his he didn't want to utilize his he wanted to win it the way he wanted to win it, as these offensive minded coaches often do. Defensively, they came up missing tackles and giving up big plays, and
yeah, Steven Wilkes was our coach as well. Yep. That's the defensive coordinator for the 49ers. Yeah.
As he often is. I feel like we say that a little bit more often than we usually do for most defensive coordinators, Steven.
Right.
But I thought the Lions were going to win when they started off. It was what? It was crazy. I thought they were going to.
Right?
Yeah.
Yep. Mm. Yep, about 17.
Yeah. But this is what happens when you have the most talented, versatile. I mean, they're just up and down the most talented team in the NFL, and it's not really all that close from a player by player standpoint.
Right.
And you go back, but the Lions realize, yo, you need to do some things. Like, you need to do some things. You need to get the ball into the hands of your running back. You need to get your quarterback settled down and on schedule. He's got all the playmakers that he needs, and your defense needs to get their heads right. They have a great combination of coaching, veteran presence, you know, vets all over there, and some good young talent that can really, you know, and then the moment, look, when Brock is off, it's usually he's off, but it's not because the moment is too big for him. It's usually because he's just, you know, he's the kind of quarterback that's going to be off sometimes. He's not a Patrick Mahomes type of dude. So the moment wasn't too big for him, and he got his head back on straight and started making some plays.
What you got, mm-hmm. Blaze?
I personally think they lost because of Campbell. Campbell and this going for it on the fourth, they should, instead of going for field goals, he should have took those two field goals. He should have took those two field goals. Like he did that crap when with the Cowboys. Remember when the 2-point conversion, and he did it three times. Like he's got a hard head. The man's got a hard head. Like seriously, like bro,
he's been gambling because he had one. Like we talk about the ones he missed out. He won on a lot of them, and that's his mentality, bro. He stayed true to his mentality. But sometimes, bro, it's not a bad thing to get a 36-yard field goal.
No, it's not. It's not a bad thing.
Yeah.
It's not a bad thing, man. Especially get a field goal. When your offense was struggling in the second half bad, and you was being out-coached. Mm-hmm. But go ahead, Blaze.
Yeah, it was crazy. The second half of the third quarter, oh, my God. They got 17 points in one quarter, the 49ers. That was crazy. I was yelling at the TV. I was like, "Come on, man, just go for the field goal and walk away." You know, it's good to, you know, just a win to win. You know,
right?
And it was
you're such a boomer. You know, they would have called Blades a boomer on the fantasy podcast.
Right.
He got the
boomer mentality.
A baby boomer, like you're old.
You're not. Oh, I know what a boomer. I know.
Analytics. Campbell,
I know.
Analytics. No, I agree with you. I'm just saying they would have called you a boomer.
I'm a science guy. I believe in analytics. But sometimes, you know, you just keep on doing the same thing and expecting, you know, a different result. That's insanity. that thing with the Cowboys, after the second one, I'm kicking a field goal. We're playing to live another day. We're playing to keep on playing, you know. Like get the extra point and keep on tied up the game, and keep on playing.
Yeah, 100%.
You know, this is a playoff game. This is a playoff game. I'm going for a field goal. Field goal count. Last time I checked, field goals count because you lost by a field goal. Mm-hmm. He lost by 4 points.
4 points, 30-34.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
He lost by four, but them six, you know, them 6 points he passed. No,
would have made him, it made everything gravy. Would have made it gravy. I don't know. Like, I understand about gambling. And I understand, like, if you think if you're hot, you want to roll the dice, roll the dice. But when but honestly, when a game like this, like with the high stakes of this game, I'm going for the points.
Yeah, I'm gonna give my thoughts real quick, man. Great job to Shanahan the second half. When I say great job, he finally got his head on straight. So giving McCaffrey to touch the ball, either receive it. It was hard. It was hard running in the first half, and I think he tried to not run the ball because he know the Lions D line is actually legit, the best run stop defense in the league. But in the second half, he was like, "Man, I'm gonna just wield McCaffrey because McCaffrey is just it." McCaffrey has some 8 and 7 yard hard nose runs, tough up the middle runs that made the difference. Also, big ups to Brock, because from the third quarter on, he played how Lamar Jackson should have played. Man, he was running the ball in key moments to get first downs when they went man to man. When they blitzed, he made key passes. Sometimes it's to be better to be lucky than good. That tip pass I you caught for the touchdown. Man, better to be lucky than good. Everything was just going up 49ers' way. Coaching, Wilkes got their defense better. Defense wasn't missing tackles on Montgomery and Gibbs. They forced the fumble and Gibbs and stuff like that. So, you know, big up to the coaching staff and the players getting their head on correctly. Brock really came through. McCaffrey really opened up things for Brock to come through. Good job for Shanahan actually getting the ball in McCaffrey's hand when they needed it and mixing it up. He was mixing up with the running. He had Aaron Glenn off kilter. He had Campbell off kilter. And as much as they had them frustrated in the first half, it was a totally flip of the coin in the second half to me. That's how the 49ers be able to pull it out.
Yes, sir.
All right, man. So we about to do a fantasy football recap. Last week we did receivers and tight ends. This week we're going to do quarterback and running back. So I'm on the quarterbacks right now. So who y'all think the number one quarterback in fantasy? Under the sports site,
Allen.
Scoring as well.
Allen.
Who you got, Jers?
I guess I'll go with Allen, too.
Okay. Number one, Josh Allen, 450 points. Number two, Dak Prescott, 433 points. Number three, Jalen Hurts, 414 points. Four, Lamar Jackson, 391 points. Five, Jordan Love, 389 points. Six, Brock Purdy, 372 points. Seven, Patrick Mahomes, 350. Eight, Tua Tagovailoa, 347. Nine, CJ Stroud, 344. Mm-hmm. 10, Baker the Baby Maker, woo! Mayfield, 339. Number 10, Russell Wilson, 314. 11, Sam Howell, 314. Trevor Lawrence, 310. I want to check one person again. I want to double check Jared Goff. But what y'all thoughts say as I double check Jared Goff?
Two things. One, there was lots of injuries, and that's why some of these guys, you know, there's lots of injuries and people in and out of lineups and things like that. So I'm really happy for Baker Mayfield too. And three, Dak Prescott was such a value because and he'll still be a value next year again, trust me, because people just don't realize that Dak Prescott just an offensive juggernaut. How do you know? Where is they said it was Kellen Moore, okay? The reason that Kellen Moore is on a whole new team now. Kellen Moore didn't last more than 1 year with a quarterback that most people would say is better than Prescott. Just one for one. Dak Prescott's always leading the number one or number two offense in points as long as he's at the helm.
Okay, yeah, Jared Goff, I thought so. He will be behind Brock Purdy and front pack Mahomes. He had 364 points, Jared Goff. So he would be number seven.
All I can say is that next year in fantasy football, you don't have to pick a quarterback in the first couple of rounds because there's a lot of good quarterbacks now.
Yep.
Okay, any surprises? I think Love, man, he really came on the second half. He really boosted up, man. Love was really crazy that second half. Mm-hmm. Wonder how he's going to go.
I mean, he was good sometimes for fantasy wise in the first half.
Yeah, but not as much though. His numbers was really down for the last 10 games. I don't know if you saw. I put a little clip between him and Dak. Dak went 26 touchdowns, 4 intercepts. He went 21 touchdowns, 3 intercepts for the last 10 games of the season. They both threw for 2,200 yards.
Yeah. So Sam Howell, you know, but one of those the guys that's just a better fantasy quarterback than real life quarterback.
Right. And maybe, I don't know, man. You think he have any hope to get a little better? This is what, the second year, right?
Yeah, third year. I mean, he's going into his third year. Mean, of course, he's going to get better, but I mean, no, he just doesn't have the draft. He'll be a bridge quarterback. There's just too many good quarterbacks coming out this year, and too many more. Like, there's just a lot of good quarterbacks in college. Dudes like him, he's going to be a backup shortly.
It's a real separation from the top 4 or 5 than the rest of the pack as well. So having one of those top 4 or 5 can really go a long way, too. Like, 450 points, 433, 414. That's really big from... Just let's go to number. Let's go to Pat Mahomes at number 8, 350. That's like a little big little drop off, man.
Yeah, but the thing is, a Patrick Mahomes, how often is he gonna finish top? How often is he finishing right? 6 through 8
If people was taking him in the second round, and the sports site was somebody that literally drafted him in the second round, and that probably why he finished 12th. So
yeah,
amongst other things.
Yeah, I mean, Sky Moore and Kadarius Toney being his main options the first few weeks.
Right. Me and Blaze was calling for Rice from like week 4 on. Like, why they not playing? They showing too many flashes. Come on. But they took their time with him, and I guess it's paying out now.
You know Andy Reid and his receivers. He don't give a daggone. He don't care about he everybody who had Dwayne Bowe in the Andy Reid days knows he will.
Right.
He don't really care about getting the ball to the receiver unless it fits in to what he's trying to do.
Correct. We all know the number one running back in the land, right? With the easy breezy.
The
right?
guy.
Christian McCaffrey, 412. I'm going to let y'all guess who number 2 is, though.
You know he has a brother. He has a brother that's in...
I see somebody named Luke McCaffrey.
Yeah, he has a few brothers.
He has a brother.
I wanted to ask y'all about... I'm glad you brought that up. But I'm like, who the freak is Luke McCaffrey? And he actually having a good day today. Wednesday, he's actually having a good day to practice today.
And his dad,
is he a running back jersey? You know,
Luke McCaffrey. No, I don't think any of his brothers are running backs to what, unless there's another. I think he has a quarterback brother and a receiver brother, but I don't know what years they are. But I just remember there
was his Luke McCaffrey stats.
And his dad was at the Senior Bowl.
Ed McCaffrey.
I think he's a receiver. 71 catches, 992, 15 touchdowns.
Yeah. And Ed was a receiver or a tight end? I think Ed was a receiver.
Yeah, he's a receiver. So Luke McCaffrey, a receiver. Okay, I didn't really know that. Okay.
Yeah.
Who do you think the number 2 running back is?
From the Jets. What's the name from the Jets?
Nah, it's either Rashad White or probably Rashad White.
No, what's the name from the Jets?
Oh, was it?
Number 2 is Breece Hall was in the Jets. He had 299 fantasy, sports side for fantasy. The way he finished the season is the way he finished.
Yeah,
he finished on a crazy
run. That was like the least helpful number 2 running back in the history.
Unless you was in it at the end of the season, then he helped you all with the love.
But he had already torpedoed a lot of teams.
Absolutely right. Number 3 is Travis Etienne, 288. Number 4, Rashad White, 273.
Mm-hmm.
Number 5, Raheem Mostert, 273.
If you had him, you were probably
273.
In the game.
Yeah, then he didn't help you at the end when he missed that games when you needed him the most. Number 6, Kyren Williams, 273, and he missed 5 games.
That's the guy. To me, he's the number 2 most valuable running back because he never didn't help you. He didn't help you when you just was.
Well, he missed 5 games.
He missed five games. But when he was on the, he wasn't doing what, giving you 5 points like Breece Hall was sometimes.
Right.
Mm. The thing with Williams, he missed five. I think he had one down game in week 2. It was like a 7-pointer, but he gave you. Then he missed 5 weeks as well. So. Mm. This would have been something nice.
Yeah, points per game. I bet you he's number 2 points per game. Like if we took
He is actually. I actually saw that. He actually number 2. He was actually in front of McCaffrey at one point, but I think he finished number 2 behind McCaffrey.
Right.
Actually points per game. Yes. I'm definitely with you with that. Number 7, Joe Mixon with 270.
Oh, that was quiet.
Yeah, he was pretty quiet, bro. Quietly consistent. Quiet.
I think he got in the end zone a couple some times.
Jersey, would you want him to be the 1-2 punch with Hunt next year? Yeah, I think he's a free agent.
With Hunt?
I mean not Hunt. Pollard.
Not really, I guess. Okay. I mean, if we picked him up, I wouldn't be like mad, but
okay,
that doesn't him. I don't think he's a very.
Who
good
you would be mad
anymore,
more, Mixon or Henry?
I don't want to pay Henry. I don't want to because Mixon's not going to cost money.
I don't want to pay
Derrick Henry.
Just say the money is the same.
Derrick Henry. Derrick Henry can still play.
Okay, because I was kind of. Tilting towards
Mixon.
If everything was cut equal with money, I was kind of tilting towards Mixon a little bit.
I think Mixon is not much above Ezekiel Elliott. I think.
Okay. Just, gotcha.
Yeah, I'm not.
Gotcha.
You know.
All right. Well, number 8 is Derrick Henry with 262 points. Bijan Robinson is number 9, 255.
Woo.
Jamar Gibbs is number 10, and he missed about. I think Gibbs missed like 4 or 5 games too.
Yeah,
he was 248. James Cook came on strong, 241.
Yeah,
then Alvin Kamara with 233 after missing the first 3 weeks.
Yeah, mm-hmm. He had a couple real big games with Kamara from the receiving standpoint, I think. Couple of the 12 catch games or something like that, but
yeah,
I wonder if his legs were a little bit fresher because he was out
because he missed them, yeah, the beginning games. Like,
his efficiency was slipping for the previous couple of years, you know, year by year, you know.
Yeah, what made him good, you know, he had like a 13 catch game for 33 yards. Mm-hmm. Like he just had a bunch of like,
yeah. I see, yeah.
Yeah, yeah, it was like that time. But it wasn't super, because the Saints' O-line is not really that great, man. So, Saints' O-line wasn't really great. Not no more, man. Yeah. Once wasn't
For bad. Years, they quietly always built a good O-line. I'm surprised they allowed it to get here.
They tried to, yeah, but I ain't going to say it's for the lack of trying. People not developing.
Right.
They did draft 3 first round out the last years on the offensive line. They just not panning out. So it's not for a lack of trying.
That's true.
It's not for a lack. They took a center and 2 tackles and a center, a guard, and a tackle, and not for the lack of trying, man. And a second round one too in Penn. So
who was the second rounder?
I think it was Penn, the left tackle, because I know they took Ramchek. I think Ramchek was a first round.
Yeah,
that center they took was a first round. And the dude that's a guard who's been underachieving. I can't remember his name. Pitt, was he a first round? Start with a P, I think his last name is with a P. That he was a first round too, and he's been underachieving like a mug.
I can't. The only first round with a P that I could think of is
not P. No,
Pitt with Panetti Sewell, and he didn't underachieve at all.
Oh no, he's a monster.
He was the best lineman in football.
What was the dude? Because Chris can't stand him, man. I can't remember his name, man. Can't remember his name. He played left guard.
Left guard. Okay. I can't stand him. I can't. I don't know.
Let's get into Gots to be
Gots
more
to
careful.
Be more.
Okay, man. The Jackie Robinson statue was cut down by the ankles and stolen from Wichita, Kansas, out of a park, man. And the community was like really messed up right before February, which is Black History Month, and it was dark. They was all covered. They cut it by the ankles, put it in the back of a pickup truck, and drove off.
Heinous. Like, I mean, just where we are right now, though.
Like, man, it's wild, man.
That's so wrong.
Right. All right, man. So Vince McMahon, he's being sued by ex-staffer alleged sexual misconduct. Also in the report, they said Vince McMahon forced her to try to keep her job by sex with him, sex with James Laurinaitis, and another unnamed superstars that was on the roster as well. She was seeking like $3 million, but she's seeking more now. She's going to come out with everything. Vince McMahon said he didn't do that. These things are heinous. So this was coming up for McMahon, which is no longer the head guy, top guy for WWE anymore. They sold it to the new company. I can't remember the company name. They sold it to
TKO. I think they also own UFC, right?
Yep, which worked out $6 billion deal with Netflix to have Raw in there for the next 10 years. But back to this issue right here with Vince McMahon, it's pretty crazy, man.
It's like sex trafficking. He was trafficking her, making her have sex with people and forcing her to do sex and to keep her job. And then he made her sign an NDA, and then it's coming. I think his wife found out.
Linda, yep.
And his what? Yeah, she found out and she lost it, and now he's got to pay more money, or he's
I think he paid like $17 million so far toward this whole shenanigans. But that she the young lady who was going through this, she's definitely coming out for some millions right now.
No, these guys got to go to jail. These rich guys, you got to realize they can't be doing this stuff, and because they're rich, oh, let me just pay this person off. No, some of these guys got to go to jail. He needs to be in jail.
It's just very difficult for that to be, because in order for him to go to jail, she has to go to court. And it's really easy for us or anybody to say, take this 5-year journey for everybody else who's coming after you. Even though there's a chance you won't win, even though this dude's got so much money, he could just all that money, anything she could get, he could just fight her, and those are lawyer fees. That it costs a lot of money to fight dudes like this, and yes, maybe you'll do it if you're not going to get anything, but if they come to you and say, you know what, we don't have to talk about it, because you know what, there's oftentimes there's other stuff going on there too. You might have been doing, you don't know what type of, like, well, I'll give you an example. I'm not talking about her now, but just if you were doing some nasty stuff, like, you don't necessarily, all that's going to come out. You were doing some things that you may, you know. Remember when these things hit this is Vince McMahon. This will be a very public case, and you might not. So if they say $10 million, $15 million, and you don't even have, and this could, you and your family can go off. All right, maybe he's out, but he might be out anyway, and then you might get, if you whatever money you're spending is all gone.
Yeah, but a lot of people are saying, a lot of people that work for the company are saying that he's saying he's out, but his henchmen are still working for the company. He's pulling the strings. So a lot of the attitude is still the same. Culture is still there.
That's an attitude. But that's why when I said, is it? I don't mean, is it? I mean, I don't know if Vince McMahon did this. Let me just make this abundantly clear.
Yeah, because it's still
but
a legend.
But this is freaking Vince McMahon. Vince McMahon's been surrounded by stuff like, this is pro wrestling and Vince McMahon. Like,
I know this is not the first time he's been in trouble for abusing women.
Sex, drugs, and rock and roll. It's a hyper masculine culture. It's like, you know what I mean? It's, jet flying, limousine riding, and it's back.
But I don't think the consequences are they're losing money. These guys don't care. They make more money than anything. They don't care. I think they're only going to care when some of them are in jail. Some people end up in jail, then they're going to be like, oh shit, I can't be doing this stuff. I could go to jail.
You're right. Know? And some, listen, to be fair, some of them do make it, but it's just when that's the difficult part about the money, the way that we've set our society up. That's the problem. That's the problem with capitalism, because at the end of the day, there are banks that are too big to fail. There are hospitals that are too big to sue when you're and there are people that just have so much power and influence, and you don't to go up against them, and it's just, and money can change your life. Give me that $20 million, and I don't want to be dragged through the mud.
Yeah, man. Huh? We about to wrap up with he went crazy. He went crazy. Mm-hmm. Crazy. All right. So the first person that went crazy, we got a double piece that went crazy. Luka dropped 73 points, fourth most in NBA history. 73 points. And the crazy part is, it's the fourth most in NBA history, but 10 players have reached this over the last 10 years of at least 70 points. But the 73 was the fourth most that Luka had dropped in a massive, massive game, and they wound up winning that game as well. And then Devin Booker on the same night dropped 62 points as well that same night that Luka dropped 73. So last week we had somebody that dropped 70 and 60 plus. This week we have it again with 70 plus and 60 plus.
And even more crazy, on the anniversary of the passing of Kobe Bryant. Yeah, they call it Kobe Day. Yeah,
Kobe Day. Right. Yeah.
And who we know also had like what was the game he had? Was it a 60 or he had one of them crazy games as well? As I can't remember how many points he had, but what he had one of the
it was 80.
80. He had 81. One of the highest scoring games in the history. 80.
And he got took out in the third quarter, bro. I want to see a modern day
who did
bro. Kobe when he had dropped.
He got took out in the third.
Yeah, after the third, like in a full.
I want to see 100.
Me too. I want to see a modern day 100, bro. Like when these dudes got these chances to do that, I don't want them to take them out, bro. When somebody has 67 points in the third quarter, I don't want to take them out, bro. I want to see a modern day 100, bro. Close. I want to see that, bro. I want to be a witness to something like that that people had would enjoy with Wilt Chamberlain. But the only difference, Wilt was just so dominant for his time. He was massive over a lot of people, except when he went against Bill Russell. I want to see somewhere where the playing field a little bit even in today's game. You know, ain't no Bill Russell. Well, we might have one soon to come, but right now,
right.
Womenaya, bro. Woo! My gosh. My gosh. Victor Wembanyama, bro, is going to be, bro. He's a monster, bro. He's doing this off the limited minutes. He's doing this over 26 minutes a game, 33, 12, and 10. Bro,
he's a little boy. Minutes? He's a kid.
Bro, how old he is? 19 years old? 19. Bro, I got draws older than him. I got draws over there.
That's my line.
That is crazy.
All right, Jerz, you want to shut us down this week? I did it last week.
All right.
I did it the week before.
And it was yet another time, another opportunity that we really very much enjoyed. Got to get together with my brothers, talk sports, analyze situations, make predictions, and commune in fellowship with you all. And no matter whether it's a Wednesday, a Thursday, whatever the time, place, and situation, you know that when we get together with you guys, we're going to give the people what they want.
Yes. Give us well. Of course, subscribe to us. Leave us a review on Apple. Subscribe to us to all platforms. And shout out to Dodge Radio as well.
Shout out to Dodge Radio.
Yep, Dodge Radio.